Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have been waiting 15 years to use the following story as a sermon illustration, hoping that someday I would be able to, and the time has finally come. The first time I went to seminary in Chicago, one of my favorite professors, Dr. Weborg, used to say, "There are two kinds of people who make it across Foster Avenue." Foster Avenue was the very busy street that divided our campus. And let's just say that the folks who drove on Foster didn't go the speed limit, and they didn't care too much about pedestrians either. So Dr. Weborg would say, there are two kinds of people who get across Foster Avenue, and they're both in the Apostles' Creed, the quick and the dead. Well, two semesters before I graduated, something happened to me that caused my professor to create a new category in his joke. One afternoon, although the traffic was completely stopped on either side, someone speeding along in the shoulder stopped their car directly on my foot, rolling my ankle and causing significant injury to my ankle and foot. Apparently, this story is still told on campus, although who knows how it has morphed and what the story actually is today. One time, this lady got run over by, her foot got run over by a car. In light of this event, Dr. Weborg had to change his joke. There are three kinds of people that make it across Foster Avenue, and two of them are in the Apostles' Creed, the quick and the dead. As you might have guessed, today we are exploring the final phrase in the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, when I planned out this sermon series and what I would preach on each Sunday, I decided I could do this whole phrase in one sermon. And my goodness, what a mistake I made. Because each part of the phrase could have a sermon just for itself. And each of these scriptures, I could spend a whole sermon explaining to you what they really mean and what the authors are trying to talk about. Let's just say that we're going to return to this topic in Advent. We're going to look more at what it means that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, and that he will come again more in this season of Advent. Because yes, Advent is about awaiting the birth of Christ, but it's also about waiting and preparing and watching for Christ to come again. So we'll return to it more in Advent. We're just going to have a shortened sermon about it today. The truth that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead is our great hope. Our hope that God will come again to dwell with us for all eternity. And in doing so, we'll set everything right. You know, it's interesting. We know that Advent is about Christ coming again, and every Sunday we say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, and even in our communion liturgy, every Sunday we say, remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. But if we were to ask most Christians about the end times, they would likely describe something linked to rapture theology. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of rapture theology because it truly is a false teaching, and the harm that it has caused Christians and Christianity makes me really, really angry. But the brief history of it is that in the 1830s, a man by the name of John Nelson Darby invented rapture theology based on the misinterpretations of a few scripture verses that were taken completely out of context. Over the past 200 years, many Christians, mostly in America, have come to believe that it's true. We can find this false teaching in movies like A Thief in the Night, or in the Left Behind books and movies. It's important for us to know that for the first 1800 years of the church, no one believed in rapture theology. The word rapture doesn't even appear in Scripture. You will not find a Lutheran pastor or a biblical scholar at a credible seminary who believes in rapture theology. You might find false teachers who have a savvy way of describing it, but that still doesn't make it true. The truth is, rapture theology goes against Scripture. It goes against the beliefs of the church, and it goes against the very character of God. So let's talk about what it means that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. As Christians, we believe that Jesus will come again, and all earthly human history as we know it will come to an end. Jesus will judge all people, living and the dead, and he will fully consummate his kingdom, which will have no end. Jesus will set things right, and he will create a just order. You're going to hear about this again in the coming weeks, because this part of the creed is connected to most of what we explore in the third article of the creed. It's connected to the communion of saints. It's connected to what we believe about the forgiveness of sin. It's connected to what we believe about the resurrection of the body. And it's connected to what we believe about the life everlasting. In Scripture, like today's gospel lesson, Jesus spoke on numerous occasions about the Son of Man coming in the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, using a variety of language and word pictures, spoke often about Jesus returning to earth and setting everything right. In the Old Testament, this hope and expectation was called the Day of the Lord, the day when Israel's God, Yahweh, would come and dwell among God's people. Yahweh would bring heaven and earth together and would put the earth and all things in right order. What we believe is that at an appointed time, a time appointed by God, Jesus will come again. And in an ending that is not an ending, but a beginning, Jesus will transform the entire cosmos by eradicating sin and evil entirely. This is our great hope, that Jesus will return and will be present with us in a world completely transformed by his presence. This truth isn't to be feared or dreaded, but yearned for and longed for and celebrated. Because what it means is that God will be present with all of creation in a new way, in a resurrected way, in a transformed way, in a way that brings heaven and earth together, fully and completely. Instead of us going off to heaven, Jesus brings heaven to earth, and in a way that fully integrates them together, Jesus will bring forth a new creation. He will raise the dead from all of time, and God will dwell in this new creation with us for all eternity. Because God is the Holy One, and because sin and evil are completely opposed to God, God cannot bear them in God's presence. there can be no place for sin and evil when God fully and completely comes to dwell with us in God's new creation. And so at that final judgment of all sin and evil, when Jesus finally sets the world right, he will completely get rid of all traces of evil. God will completely remove violence and greed, injustice, arrogance, lying, cruelty, oppression, exploitation, and abuse. God will mend all that sin has torn apart. Good will finally triumph over evil in our world, in our institutions, in our lives, and in our relationships. When Jesus comes again, God's justice and goodness will prevail entirely and for all eternity. Now, as a reminder, the Creed tells us that this will happen. It doesn't tell us how, just that it will happen. And I know that this truth is so wonderful that we can't even begin to wrap our minds around it. So I'd like to close with a description of what C.S. Lewis imagines in the final pages of his final novel in the Chronicles of Narnia. He writes, "The things that began to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures of Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, and which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." Brothers and sisters, this is our hope, the hope of the church and of the world and of our hearts, that Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead, that he will eradicate all sin and evil, and will completely transform all of us into a new creation. And in doing so, he will dwell with us for all of eternity. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.